Welcome to A Well-Designed Business with your host, Luann Migara. Luann has a lifetime of experience building a multi-million dollar business with her husband and cousin, and she knows the challenges you face in your interior design business. Luann brings you real-life answers to your most pressing problems, as well as practical strategies to explode your interior design business. So, let's get to the business of interior design.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the second show in our series about cruelty-free design, which is sponsored by Deborah Rosenberg and Damari Interiors in Miami, Florida. And Deborah is back with me again. And today we're going to talk about the second set of information that is important for you to know as interior designers in this emerging field. And in case you've missed the first show, I'm just going to give you a little bit of background on Deborah Rosenberg. First of all, she has been a guest on A Well-Designed Business a couple of times, mostly because from the day I met her, I fell in love with her. So we just had to keep doing something together, right, Deborah?
Oh, thank you. My ego.
But here's the thing. Deborah, you know, really is... If you go back and you listen to the other episodes, you'll see and hear for yourself the commitment. But she is the creator of a fully accredited online educational course geared for students, designers, retailers, manufacturers, and companies in the design and textile industry. The course, Certified Cruelty-Free, educates businesses and consumers about cruelty-free alternatives and provides them with vegan resources. She donates a portion of all proceeds from both companies towards saving the lives of animals killed for skins in the industry. And it's a mission of a labor of love and a mission of love for Deborah. And so today what we're going to do is we're going to talk about the resources and that are available to you as interior designers. Of course, we know that if you take the course, you get access to the full Bible of resources. But Deborah's going to share a little bit with us today. And we're going to talk a little bit about the marketing and how you would approach it as an interior designer. But Deb, just in case somebody hasn't listened to some of the other shows at this point and are finding this program first, just first tell us, what is vegan design? Don't go through the whole thing, because basically people are going to have to go back and listen to the other shows to get all of the background. But just as a quick description of what we mean when we say vegan design.
Sure. So vegan design, very simply, is nothing is made from animals, from any living creature. So there's no wool, there's no fur, there's no silk, there's no leather, there's no down.
Okay. So very clean, straightforward. And so from there, you just mentioned lots of materials that designers, you know, love to specify on their projects. And of course, you know, objectively, we can all look at them and understand why. I mean, they look beautiful. So we can't use wool, we can't use silk, we can't use, obviously the skins is obvious to us that we can't. But so what happens if a designer has this passion like you do? What are the alternatives to wool and silk and, you know, animal skins? What are we looking at?
There are many alternatives. It just took me a while to find them. They were in the caverns of the world. No, there really aren't, especially today, just to give a little bit of background. I mean, today, you know, every other day, I'm sure you're hearing something about socially conscious, ethical, animal rights. The world is becoming carbon footprints. The world is becoming much more socially conscious, thankfully. And because of that, now more and more resources are becoming available because companies and manufacturers are seeing that their consumers are demanding these things. You know, Bentley, the car, is coming up with a vegan car, a vegan alternative to their interiors. And they were known for their leather interiors.
Right.
And their consumers are demanding now vegan interiors on their cars. So they are coming up with something. They're looking into mushroom leathers and all the different kinds of leathers. But so going back to what are some vegan alternatives, there's banana silks, which is made from the strands of banana leaves.
Oh.
There's bamboo. There's cork. There's kapok, which is made from the rubber tree. Tencel, which is made from a mix of the eucalyptus tree mixed with a lot of times recyclable plastics. Mm-hmm. There's many fabrics coming out now simply with recyclable plastics from the bottom of the ocean.
Wow.
There's hemp. There's sisal. There's cottons and linens that now have other blends incorporated into them to create all these fantastic materials. And of course, you have wonderful faux leathers and pleathers, which years ago were really just considered to be for the commercial trade. But now they're, because the consumers are demanding globally things for their homes and offices, you're seeing more and more faux leathers and pleathers mainstreamed. So there's lots of stuff out there. It's finding out which ones are really great and feel good and look good. And look, the faux alternatives also, they're durable.
Right.
They don't smell. They're typically well-priced. Your baby can throw up on them. The dog can scratch them, you know, and nothing's going to happen to it.
Mm. So I think, you know, for somebody who isn't that versed in the field of mm-hmm. vegan design can understand that, yeah, okay, so we're looking at these leathers and faux leathers and stuff like that. I mean, every one of us crosses those paths, and that's pretty
yes.
obvious. But
yes.
you, like, what did you mention as the alternative to silk? Because that seems harder to me to figure out. So you said it was like the strands of bananas?
Yeah, there's banana silk. You know, we're doing gorgeous carpets with banana silks and tencels. They look and feel, Luann, exactly like silk. Exactly. Wow. It has the sheen even. You know how silk has that sheen?
Yeah. And now, is this just for when you weave it into carpets, Deborah, or is it for fabric too? Like literally yards of fabric that look like silk?
Their fabrics are now being made with banana silk and tencels as well, for sure.
Wow. And are these... You know, like, I know that you have done tremendous research to locate these sources, and that's one of the reasons why, in addition to the education that a designer can, you know, earn during the certification course, that
yes.
this library of resources comes. But is something like that coming from an obscure vendor, or is it something like Kravet has it and we just don't realize it because it's not marketed? You know what I mean?
You brought up a great company that we use all the time, Kravet. Kravet has tons of resources. Tons and tons of resources and fabrics, and all or 99% of the resources that we list on our guide, which is really like the Bible, are global companies, because we have participants from all over the world. Pretty much every continent now has taken the course. So we make sure that we have companies like Kravet, like Robert Allen, like Jeffrey Michaels, big companies. And they just fantastic. Kravet has one of the most beautiful faux leather selections of any of the vendors that I work with.
So let me ask you a question. If I were in my showroom and I were looking for a silk fabric and mm-hmm. there was a book there, and maybe it might say that it's made from banana silk or banana skins or tencel or whatever, but maybe I don't recognize that. I don't notice that. And you know, when you look at a polyester silk and it just doesn't look as nice, am I going to notice it as looking like, oh, this is the stepchild of or will I think it's real silk?
You will think it's real silk, because here's the thing. Years ago, the polyester silks looked like doodah, right?
Right. They just have no depth to them.
Right. But nowadays, because of technology especially, they're coming up with amazing man-made blends that have the look, the feel, the sheen, the sumptuousness and the luxury of the real thing.
Okay. And then how about this question? If I'm looking at a book that, say, I'm going to use Kravet because I love them. So for instance, if I've got a book in the showroom that might be necessarily made from some of these man-made blends or these banana skins or whatever they are, will I know it by, like, will I know that that's a vegan-free product, or do I have to know it? Because if I look and I see that it says that it's banana silk or whatever it is, then I have to just intellectually know that. Is there any, like, you know what I'm saying? Is anybody doing anything about letting designers know? If a designer takes your course, she or he will have the list. But somebody like me, if I'm just in the showroom or in the my own showroom, will I know? Are people starting to tell us this?
What you can do is clearly what we're doing is we're reaching out to many manufacturers now to have our badge put on these fabrics.
Okay.
So a designer coming in will know that, hey, this is a certified cruelty-free fabric. Great. This is completely vegan.
Okay.
Now I don't have to ask.
I don't have to think about it. That's what I want. I want to make a roadmap for me, right?
Right. Exactly. So it's dummy proof. You go in and there it is. There's the badge on the fabric. Hey, it's just like Kravet. We keep bringing up Kravet, but Kravet's a great company, as we know.
Right.
So Kravet has tremendous amount of real animal hides and skins, pony skins, but yet they also have this entire area of their showrooms with fabulous faux alternatives.
Right.
And so imagine if they had their logo on those faux alternatives, very easy.
Right.
Now, if there is no logo on there, then you go to the showroom rep and you say, can you show me things that do not have wool, in them? And they will know it. A lot of times it's interesting if they don't, they're like, huh, I didn't know that has wool. Wow. What do you know? I didn't know that.
Okay. Right. So I think I've said this on the first show when I met you back in the fall of 2016, I feel like you are really at the forefront of a true movement here. And I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, my first thought was, if I really am passionate about this, like you are, I want to just know in the showrooms. I want to just have the label there. And it's like when you go to the grocery store now and it says non-GMO and it says organic, like you don't want to read 9,000. How about paraben free? I'm so sick and tired of like looking at the fine print. I love it when I walk up and the bottle on the shelf says no parabens. Yay. Yeah. I can stop, pick it up and move on. So that's part of what you're doing, I imagine, is trying to really get this whole thing where it's labeled with your cruelty free,
yes,
so that people can know it, right? I just think it would be very valuable. I don't know why companies would resist.
Also, I mean, research shows it. You know, if you put a consumer next to two products side by side and one has a badge displaying that it's socially conscious, the consumer will purchase that product.
Exactly. Right. Right. And exactly. Even if it's more money sometimes. I mean, I don't know, that's not the case with these products, but I mean, we bought, blueberries for $5 or $4. One's organic, one's not. It's like you buy the organic if you know it's there, right?
Well, look, they did research also on us. You know, Australia is a very, very socially conscious country. One in three Australians are willing to pay more for socially responsible products.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. It's a big thing. I mean, and it's also going along with it's the whole trend, like you said. It's the world is changing, becoming more socially conscious. It's just like green design and everything like that. You have lots of, I talk with a lot of designers that mention that, their clients are looking for things that don't off gases and all this other stuff. So it's all the whole new millennial generation, particularly, I find, at least in my day-to-day dealings with window works, they're the ones who will ask me, five questions before we can just look at a sample book. It's like,
yes,
does it this? Yes. Does it this? Is it that? I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know. Let me find out.
That's how I am now. I go into showrooms. I think they have a picture of me with a big X through it. They're like, if you see this woman, run.
Right, because you're not only there to specify for your own projects, but you're there to constantly source for your courses. Yeah. So it's like not just a casual request. It's like, that's awesome. I love it. Oh my goodness. Okay. So this is pretty cool. And now, so we mentioned that obviously Kravitz has it. You mentioned Robert Allen has it. You mentioned, was it Jeffrey? That's a company I'm not familiar with. Jeffrey
Michaels is terrific. They have wonderful faux fur lines, and they also carry great wall coverings made of sisals and hemp and all corks and wonderful man-made materials and also, natural materials.
So I imagine that most of these companies, I guess what the other way to ask the question is, there isn't a company out there that is strictly vegan free. It would be companies like these that have the regular product line and then the alternative product lines, right? Nobody is just strictly vegan free out there at this point, are they?
Speaking about fabrics, you're saying? There are a couple companies out there that are completely vegan free. They're limited. You can't compare them to a fabric cutter or Robert Allen or a Kravitz. But there are some companies out there that are also in the resource guide, but they're more limited. But they do have some nice materials as well.
Okay.
But they'll just be, for example, they'll just carry the organic cottons. They'll focus on certain fabrics.
Okay. Okay.
But they're available, yes. And, of course, there's also, you have, for example, Casper Beds, which is a bed, a very my dog is barking. You see? He wants to
make sure we all know how important it is.
For example, Casper Beds is a company that probably a lot of people are familiar with, and they're terrific. And their beds are completely vegan. They never promote it as being completely vegan, but it's on our resource guide because it's hard to find a bed that's completely vegan.
Okay.
Because typically there's down in it, and there's the covers are silk. Duxiana, which is a very high-end bed, up until a couple months ago, had a fully vegan bed where they didn't have the silk or the leather trim on the inside of the bed. And if you request it, they will make it for you without that, but you have to request it. But that's one of the few very high-end beds that is considered, in my opinion, can be vegan.
Okay. Because it's funny that you went right into that, because I was going to ask that. Mostly I was focusing on fabrics, but then I was going to say, what other products out there do we want to be thinking about that are vegan-free? So beds, actual bed itself. We're not talking about the linens and all of that stuff. We're talking about, you know, like you said, the mattresses, the box springs, those are all could have components of silk or leathers or something in it. So there are alternatives for that. Obviously, I would think rugs would also be a big place, and wall coverings probably, right? We have to think about that. What other kinds of products do we have to, I mean, sofas, like what are we talking about? You're committed to it in everything, right? So
yes. And we actually have our own line now called Arthur Avenue, which is completely vegan custom upholstered pieces for clients. I mean, completely, that even the covers are not silk on the inside, even the legs are reclaimed wood. But that's custom. And so let's say you want to find a vegan sofa for yourself. I say you're really on a budget. Like you have a client
We're not
really
custom making a sofa. We've got to buy it off the street.
Right. Doing something as simple as like a Rooms to Go or an El Dorado or a City Furniture, you can find vegan things if you look, because a lot of times when they're less expensive, they're just strictly all foam.
Okay.
So there's no wrapping of silk. There's no wrapping of down. They're not as comfy and cushy because they're not using the vegan alternatives that we use in our products.
They're not custom made. I mean, that's the point. But the point is that if you're in that budget realm, there are alternatives that are vegan free as well. You don't. Yes. What you're saying is you don't have to custom make a sofa in order to have a vegan free sofa.
Not at all. You can go to one of the big box stores, the retailers, Target, Pier 1, Walmart, and you can always find vegan products. You just need to know what to look for. And it's just about learning how to read the labels and asking a few questions. And if sometimes you need to make a phone call or two, that's fine too. You know, you'll get the information.
And how about the rugs, Deborah, where instead of woven with the silk and the other things in it to give it that sheen, and they're woven with the tencel and so forth, are those really just available at the higher end rug market, or are those?
They're more at the higher end market where you're going to get that kind of sheen, but you can always just go, if you're on a budget, you could always just do the sisal blends. Now they're doing carpets that look like sisal, and they look like hemp, but they're made with nylon blends.
Oh, okay.
So they're still considered vegan, and they're just blends with nylon, and they're very inexpensive, and they look fantastic.
Okay.
And so there's all different ways to make it work.
Right. Are there other product lines? Are things like, I mean, hard products like lighting and all that stuff, that doesn't enter into it? That would not be it does.
It absolutely does. There's actually a company in New York called Aurora Lampshades. They're in Brooklyn.
Oh, Lampshades, sure.
And the founder is a real animal activist. Her name is Dawn, a fantastic woman. And she now has her own, they're creating their lampshades without silk anymore. They're using another fabric. And, you know, they don't do the antler bases anymore, which were, you know, so popular, the antler horns and the tusks and the LA. So you have to think about accessories as well.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want any bone inlays.
It's crazy. It's the ways that it really just multiplies out all the different.
Yeah.
No wonder it took you so long to research it and so much work to put together the resources for it, because it really is everything.
Uh-huh.
What about really things like, does this, I now my brain is really just going down curiosity lane. What about things like candles? Is beeswax, like, is that, are they harmed in making of candles, or that's not an issue?
We stay away from anything made with beeswax.
You do? And because they're not treated well in the farming of them?
Yes.
Okay. So that's I'm looking across my room here at a candle, and I'm thinking, wonder if that's not, you know.
So you want to use soy.
Okay. I mean, what other types of products, Deborah, that I'm not able to think of right now, like that
I mean, if you think about, if you just look at a space in your home, pretty much everything can be made with an animal product.
Wow.
So if you have a desk, you know, your desk pad could be leather.
Right.
Your
How
chair
about
could
paint? Does paint have anything to do with this whole
paint
category?
Does. Paint, yes, because paint, a lot of paint has a product in it that's made with a mineral from cows. So there is one company that I have on the resource guide, and they have completely vegan paints. I will say, though, that they're not easy to apply. You really have to have the passion to use that paint. And I'm sure within the future they'll be coming up with something that will be completely vegan, because I believe the paint contains chalk, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe chalk is also the product that might contain something from cows.
Huh. Interesting. That's it's crazy how it extrapolates out. Really does.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very crazy. Okay. So that's so the point of all of this is that all of this is available to any interior designer that signs up and does the online certification course. As I said earlier a couple of times, you get this complete reference guide with all of these resources that you have so painstakingly put together. Okay. So now tell us a little bit about what happens if, you have direct experience this, but talk to a designer that's listening, that's intrigued, that thinks, this aligns with my values, with the way I eat and all that stuff. I never thought about it for design. How does a designer go about first approaching clients with this concept?
Okay. Well, first, it's very important that people understand that by taking the course or licensing the badge does not mean that you now have to completely transition your business, your company, to be 100% cruelty free. Not at all.
Right.
It's just about providing that in addition to your existing services. I mean, my company is 100% vegan, but that's the extreme. Right. And I don't think anyone who's taken the course who has licensed the logo has a company that is completely vegan.
Right.
So they're just offering this for many reasons. One is that they believe in saving animals and people and mankind and the earth, because it's all connected. And secondly, because they want to grow their business and they realize that they're not reaching that very, very important customer base that, like I say, if you don't get on the bandwagon, you're going to get lost, because it really is the future.
Right, right.
So having said that, how do you approach a client, correct?
Right. So in other words, okay. And I just want to reinforce that. I agree with that. It's no different than the fabric companies that we mentioned that offer, true leathers and the vegan free lines of leathers. You don't right. have to only have one if you just, it's just like anything else. Like,
right.
Okay. So that's good. I like that you made that distinction. But do you recommend, I mean, people aren't necessarily so aware of this now that they're going to ask the designer for this. So yeah. Does a designer just say as an option, I have this, or do you worry, like, how do you suggest they approach that? Or do you just put it on their website and let people aware that it's there? How do you?
I think, once you take the course, you get the badge, which is great. So you can have that badge on your website and all your social media, all your collateral, showing that you do offer vegan alternatives. You okay. are certified cruelty-free now. You are certified. And again, the course is accredited, which is great for designers. So you have that on your social media. So your customers are seeing it if they want to,
Right, right, right.
But many of our clients don't even request it, but we just do it without them even knowing, because
right.
it's just part of our business.
Okay.
So we will bring them the most beautiful faux leather alternatives that they don't even think for a second. We're not letting them know that it's not real leather, because it's a beautiful fabric. We're showing them a beautiful fabric for their sofa or their chairs. And they flip over them because they're like butter. They don't scratch. The colors are incredible. They're rich. They're warm. And they're durable as heck.
Right.
So that's great. Now, if we have a client who's insistent on let's say, a real leather, I always say I do the side-by-side test, the old-fashioned way. I bring a piece of leather and I bring a piece of the faux. And I say, run your nails through it. The real leather scratches in a second. Smell it. The real leather smells like real leather. A lot of people don't like that smell.
Mm.
Now spill something on it. Now spill something on the faux leather. Which one's easier to clean up? It's a win-win.
Right, right. When you really just put them side by side, the one actually performs better on top of everything
much
else.
Better performance, much better. And today's lifestyle, especially in the United States, people are more casual. They're not, when I grew up, I mean, I remember in our house, we had this tiny house, we had the dining room. literally you were allowed to step in there twice a year. When my sister and I used to play, we would like cover up our footsteps if we went there playing. You know, I don't know many people that live like that anymore.
No, we all live everywhere in our homes for the most part now. Yes.
Our pets are on our bed, they sleep with us, they're on the couch, they're, you know, our kids are everywhere. It's a different kind of life now. We're more casual.
Right.
Want fabrics that are in sync with that lifestyle. Right. And you know, the other thing is that unfortunately, America is a very sick country. You know, over 50% of us have an illness. Over 50 million people in this country suffer from allergies. 1 in 40 kids are in the spectrum of autism. So this population with challenges and sicknesses are using vegan alternatives are very conducive to that, because someone who has allergies should not have a feather pillow to sleep. They should not have down bedding. They should be using the faux alternatives that are hypoallergenic, that don't collect dust. A child with autism can be very sensitive to smell. They're sensory sensitive. It's very common. So a real leather headboard might be very offensive to them.
Mm. And it's funny because often it's commonly, I will go into a new customer or client's home and they'll be like, oh, I don't have any, you know, carpet in my children's rooms because they're allergy sensitive. I don't want draperies in their rooms. I need, you know, la, 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 la. But, you know, you don't think about the mattress and the headboard and, you know what I mean? That sort of a thing, as having components of it that could be aggravating to the allergies. You just think of the big products in the room. You don't really look around at all the little things that could be there in that space.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. Right. Interesting. So from a marketing standpoint, what happens now? What's your advice to an interior designer that is intrigued by this? And, you know, I would say, let's talk more to the designer that isn't saying that's it, 100% vegan. But more to the designer that wants to introduce it to her client or his client base and wants to introduce it as a feature in their firm. What are some of the things that you think are, you know, you've been through it and and we all know the lessons in hindsight. So tell us about, what do you think it's like step one is that they should be thinking about doing?
I think there's a couple steps, and it's, well, what's great about, the course as well, as that, just to mention, because this helps with the marketing a lot, is that we have a forum and you're connected globally with everyone. So if you're a designer in the UK and you want to focus on Canada for some reason, you can connect with designers in Canada and the UK and the United States and Belgium, wherever you would like. And you guys can all network and talk to one another and lean on one another and share ideas. So you never feel alone. And I really saw that at the beginning of the course, that designers, after the first time we did the course, were emailing me. They had so many questions. And I said, you know what? They feel alone, like they want to do this. And it was also regular design questions, because we all have the same issues with our clients.
Right.
Even not faux alternative and vegan related. It starts to get into all these other conversations.
Right. Well, because you've come to rely on each other and value each other's expertise. Yeah.
Exactly. So that has been really, really great, because you really have other designers to lean on and you never feel alone and you have all the tools and you can always reach out, and everyone just helps each other so much, because everyone really wants to help one another succeed, because it just works, you know?
So it's a private Facebook group that you get to be a part of? Interesting.
Yes.
Fun.
Yes.
Okay, great.
And we also have the forum, which at any time of day you can just post. Anyone can. You don't have to be a member. You can just post something on the forum. Hey, do computers contain animal products? Anything you want.
And
we'll get back to you. You know what? I don't think so. I was just staring at Mac and I was thinking that same question. And I'm like, that's a good question. I'm going to post that on the forum. Who knows? Maybe the plastic has something in it. So right away, someone will get back to you, and then other people can start commenting as well. So that's something for anyone.
Okay.
But so going back to, like, you yourself as a marketer, I would suggest a couple things. One is, I always say, who is your audience, and work backwards. So for example, let's say we want to focus on, we realize, you know what, the population of people with sensory issues would be a really good market for me to address with my vegan options. So start working back, start getting information about organizations and groups and chat rooms and companies, and start following them. Social media is amazing. Start tagging and following. Get involved. Get immersed in that group that you want to attack in a way. Mm-hmm. And let them know what you're doing. That's number one.
Okay.
And the other thing is, I just say also, because it is vegan and faux alternatives and it is animal related, start getting involved with animal rights organizations. Follow them. Same thing. Ask if you can write a post for them on some vegan alternatives. Just immerse yourself. Just immerse yourself in that world like any business.
Right.
And you will start surrounding yourself with like-minded people. And that's what the key is, to surround yourself with people who also have the same mission as you. It's just that you're coming from a very interesting way of helping that mission,
right,
in a very unique way. Because as you say, it's in food already. Clothing, we're seeing it. Look, Giorgio Armani, you have companies like Stella McCartney. You have so many companies that are H&M that have gone fur-free. But nowhere really in furniture have they done it yet. In the textiles and fabric industries, have they done it yet?
Mm.
You know, you're starting to see it now. You know, Tesla has the vegan cars, the vegan interiors. Bentley's coming up with it. Ferrari already has one. BMW has, Mercedes. So it's in the textiles and fabrics industries, and now you can kind of let it spill over actually into the furnishings market and mm-hmm. hospitality. And I think authenticity is really important. I think people really know when it's coming from your heart. It's important that it comes from as a business decision as well, because it really is a way to grow your business. And I mean that honestly, because you are now, you're losing customers if you're not going to be offering them socially responsible products. You're going to be losing customers because they will be going elsewhere.
Right. Well, and I also, there was something when you mentioned, you know, immersing yourself in the different activist organizations and animal rights activist organizations and so forth. Obviously, you like, and to tie in with authenticity, you can't fake this. You can't get in there and, you know, take care of all, you know, do all this stuff and really not believe in it. But the truth is, we're talking to the people who believe in it. I mean, that's how I feel, that this message is for somebody who really this speaks to, but didn't know that they could introduce it to their interior design firm. So when you talk about getting involved in the animal rights organizations and immersing yourself in it, that's from a standpoint of education. That's from a standpoint of always knowing what's new. That's from a standpoint of giving back to this whole movement. But what I also thought of when you said that is, you know, you could imagine, like you said, those organizations are all different walks of life. And now you're, from a marketing standpoint, I'm thinking to myself, here I am attending meetings, either virtually or in person, with people who are sharing the same value that I have, but one's an accountant and one's a lawyer and one's a bricklayer, and they all might need an interior designer. And when they find out that, hey, one of the people in this group designs vegan free, that's like a whole nother door opening there.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like you said, start with who your market is. And so you want to find people who are interested in this design. What I'm saying is, people in this world might not necessarily realize that, hey, I can hire an interior designer who aligns with this. I thought I had to, you know, run around and source all this one bit by myself, bit by bit. But if you're communicating and socializing and networking with people that this is also their passion, eventually somebody in that group is going to need a designer.
That's right. That's exactly it. And as I keep saying, authenticity is very important.
Right.
We had someone who was promoting the logo. You know, we license our logo to companies, and someone was promoting it for us, and she's a great businesswoman and a great salesperson. She's amazing. But you know what? She didn't understand the passion behind it.
Right.
And it was coming through in a very cold way.
Mm.
And I realized it when I heard her on the phone once, and I was like, oh, I don't like this. You know, this isn't who I am. And this is, so it's interesting that the team of people that work with me on this, they're all very passionate about this. They're all very creative, but they're also very passionate about animal rights. But, you know, it's also, when you think of vegan design, it really isn't only about animals, because you have to understand the working conditions of the people that work in these places, the tanneries in India. 90% of tannery workers die before the age of 50.
Mm.
90%.
That's insane.
And if you see on the course, we show snippets of things. They are literally standing barefoot with shorts on, no shirts, in toxic, toxic, toxic liquids and chemicals with their hands and feet. And it's just, it's disgraceful. It's just, it's disgraceful. So it's not only about animals, it's about humans and it's about the environment.
Yeah.
So it's everything's connected.
And I know you probably know this. I mean, from a standpoint of the movement globally, what's happening, like, statistically about this, just so that designers have a handle on, like I said, you know, when I first met you 4, 5, or 6 months ago, I said 3 years ago, nobody heard about gluten-free, and now there's a gluten-free aisle at the ShopRite. So what's happening with this particular movement globally with people, and how is it evolving and changing?
Well, you have, first of all, the millennials. So the millennials, their generation is about giving back. My generation, we took. Mm. And this whole new generation is about giving back in a very ethical way. Mm. You have over half of Americans who will not buy a brand if they believe it is unethical. That is huge. Mm. Over half. And when I read that statistic many times, I kept thinking, wow, that's so strange, because I wouldn't think that about Americans, because in my mind, we're also not, but, you know, America is considered to be such a greedy, greedy place, but right. Over half of Americans, that's incredible. Again, you have places like Australia and the UK, very, very forward thinking when it comes to animal rights, and all their buying decisions really are
based on it.
Driven by that. So the world is changing, and it's changing very rapidly. I mean, if you just go onto any social media platform, I'll be surprised if you don't find at least one or two posts somewhere thrown in your feed that has to do with saving the world.
Right.
So it's the world is changing, and it's changing rapidly. And fortunately, it's changing, because I think we're realizing that we better change it, or else our kids aren't going to have a place.
Well, it's the truth. To me, when I first met you, I was struck by the passion that you have for it. I love the story, the way you came to it. And I remember saying in that first interview, it's so huge what you're doing. It's so huge. Like, just on a day-to-day basis, to live it and walk it and do it is so huge. But then now to take it and teach it to other people. And that's why I think I just immediately just, you know, loved you and respected you and admired you, because a lot of people, you know, not everybody is cut out for changing the world, but the people like you that take something, an idea, a passion, and then turn it into something that other people can duplicate and other people can, you know, live by and benefit from and, you know, share and change the world. It just strikes me so big. It's like, wow. Like, how do you have time in your...
You know, I just look at it, it's all positive, because it was nothing. There were no accidents. I say it was no accident that I just started seeing the dog festival in China, you know, which really was the thing that kind of started everything for me.
Yes.
And that led to me designing these spaces. And I think I told you this in one of the episodes when we spoke, that it's incredible for clients that even aren't even aware that it's vegan design. At the end of the project, I'll let them know that nothing was made from animals. And then I tell them, there's no blood, there's no tragedy, and there's no despair in your home.
Mm.
Isn't that awesome? And they're
amazing.
Like, wow. I'm like, talk about positive energy.
Right.
And so it's great all around. So to me, it's like, why wouldn't you?
Right. Very interesting. It just brought up a whole nother offshoot in my mind, which we definitely won't go through. But I just made me realize, I've had conversations with designers on the program about feng shui and how they change, you know, the feng shui of a space, and one person, you take over a new house and everything. And I thought, geez, you should maybe do a little show on that, finding out from designers that are specializing in that, if there's something about having, like you said, a space that has no blood in it, no tragedy in it, like in things that we're not even considering.
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Yes. There's just so much to do.
You know what? The second you get off this interview with me, you better not take a nap.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's really, it's amazing. And there's just so many layers to it. Like anything, once you become involved with something and you have a passion for it, which, you know, everyone, and as I say, I tell my kids, you've got to find that passion. Passion is what it's all about.
Right.
You know? And there's just so many layers to it, and it's never ending. And I've just met the most incredible people like yourself and so many other wonderful people once I transitioned everything, because the people that I'm surrounded by now are just wow.
Yes. Amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. Well, I love it. So Deborah, tell everybody that's listening, how would they find information on the cruelty-free certification course if they're interested?
Sure. They would just go to certifiedcrueltyfree.net, certifiedcrueltyfree.net. And they can sign up for our subscribe. They can sign up for our newsletters. We're always sending tips and this and that. And they can, we're going to run a special with Luann if you purchase it by hearing this course. The course right now is $350, and we will give a 20% discount if they put in the promo code Luann, L-U-A-N-N.
Okay.
So it will be $280. And it's accredited. It's 7.5 CEU credits, which is phenomenal.
Oh, whoa.
And you need 10, I believe, every 2 years.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I don't remember learning that on another episode, but that's significant. Yes. A designer has to take them anyway.
Exactly.
And so that's interesting. That's awesome, Deborah.
And they're online. They're 24/7. You can do it in your pajamas, eating a gallon of vegan ice cream if you'd like. whatever gets you through it.
That's it. That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's great. It's recorded, it's online, and it's just terrific. And it's broken down into a couple modules, so it's very easy. And I think it's super interesting, and we really made it very, very informative, interesting, entertaining, and easy to understand. And you really take away a lot. You get a lot with that course. You know, the research forum also will promote you on all our social media, because we want everyone to know now that you're certified cruelty-free and, you know.
Wow. That's a nice little
success. Yeah.
That's a nice. I'll tell you the value in that. I didn't realize you're doing that, Deborah. The value in that is that you're doing the yeoman's work of creating awareness to the platform and creating all of the SEO that's coming to, you know, that you're going to earn all that SEO to your website. But the fact that then you then go back out and promote the designers that have taken part of the course, because that's amazing. Because a designer who's interested and loves this and everything else, it may not have the wherewithal to create the SEO to get to have people find out about them. But for them, you know, it's almost like a directory of sorts. If somebody hears about it, comes to your website, but they're in Kansas and not Miami, you're going to let them know that there's a designer in Kansas that can answer them. Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. And you're also on our database, which everyone can see. We have a database on the course.
I didn't realize
so
that.
On the website, there's a database. So you're on the database.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to cover every corner. And so it's not only about just having someone take the course and say, now what do I do? Okay, what do I do now? No, we give you the resources. We promote you on social media. We have the forum. We connect you to the other designers. We want you to shine.
That's amazing.
And we are there to help you every step of the way.
I have to say, again, I think that this, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do from a marketing standpoint that we don't have to be 110% on board with, because, you know, like we've talked a lot with designers on the program, for instance, to become certified color expert, let's say. And we say it, if you're interested, become a color expert, because then you can put it on your website that you're a color expert. You might get found by SEO. You can write blog posts on it, and it might just draw the clients to you, okay? So I think that what I'm saying is what you just said is this is exactly the same thing. I do, my caveat is that I think it's harder to... I think it's this, like you said, it's a little bit more important that it's authentic to you, right? You don't want to just be pushing it around. But the fact of the matter is if you are even at all on board with this concept, then when you add that marketing value to it, that you become part of a directory and that you are pushing out the social media for these designers and so forth, that's just... I mean, you got to take CEUs anyway,
right.
and $350 is not a lot of money, and $280 with the discount. I mean, I don't know. That just seems like a no-brainer to me.
Right. Well, I wanted it to be that way. I literally wanted it to be a no-brainer for people.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'll tell you what, Deborah, thank you so much. I appreciate you explaining all of this to us, and I'm so happy that we're doing this little series, and we have the final series, the final show in the series. I'll just tease everybody, is that I'm actually going to interview an interior designer who has taken part of this course and is a practicing vegan interior designer. So we're looking forward to that one. Thank you so much, Deborah, for coming today.
Luann, thank you so much as always. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me again today for another episode of A Well-Designed Business. This podcast is a production of Window Works in Livingston, New Jersey, your trade resource for custom window treatments and awnings. Learn more about Window Works at www.windowworks-nj.com. All of our music is original music by Room 2 Productions. Please contact us if you want to learn more about original music for your business or your events.